In Matthew chapter 14, following the feeding of the 5,000, we read, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. After he had dismissed them, he went up a mountainside by himself to pray. There are other occasions in the scriptures that we can read where it tells us that Jesus took himself off by himself to pray. So clearly this was something that was important to him, and I believe it's important to us. So we've asked a couple of people to share some testimony about kind of personal prayer. And the first is Catherine, who's going to come and share from the front. And another verse it says, "But when you go into your room, close the door and pray unto your Father who is unseen." Not all of us pray necessarily in our bedrooms, but it is, again, an encouragement for us to pray by ourselves. Catherine.
Morning. When Susanna first asked me to be involved with this, my first response was lots of questions. Thankfully, the next was from the Spirit. And it was about praying blessings. And I just want to share a personal experience first. And it was a colleague who made a complaint about me at work. And it went through the full grievance procedure. And it seemed to go on for months, and it was very unsettling. Lots of sleepless nights, and a bit of ranting and raving and talking to lots of people. Especially, of course, as I was right. Anyone else felt that way? Then I was convicted to pray blessings over this person. It wasn't easy, but as I did this daily, behind closed doors, I soon felt released from the conflict. I could let it go and leave God to resolve it in his way. And I was reading an article this week in Plain Truth, which reminded me of this experience, which is how we can deal with difficult relationships. So I want to do two prayers this morning. One is, I'm going to give you a minute to think about it. And one is that difficult relationship within the church family, someone that you just either don't know or just find it difficult to get on with. And I want you to think or ask the Spirit to give you that name so that we can pray that blessing on that person until God can maybe transform, well, he can transform that relationship. And then I want you also to think about a different difficult relationship outside of the church. It might be in your own family, it might be with neighbours, it might be someone completely different. And we'll just pray that prayer as well. And I want you to think about, this goes with the next speaker who's going to be talking about praying persistently. I want us to think about praying every day until those relationships are transformed in whatever way that God is going to do that. So, Father God, we come here today and commit our church family to you. We thank you that we are all part of your family and we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Our relationship with is not yet one of unconditional love. Today, we pray our blessing and your blessing over and ask that you would transform our relationship with them. And now for that person who's not in the church family. Our relationship with is not one of unconditional love. Today we pray our blessing and your blessing over and ask that you would transform our relationship with them. And we ask this In Jesus' name, amen.
First Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Persistence in prayer. Sometimes it's hard, isn't it, to keep going. In the Authorized Version, which was the Bible I was brought up on, it says praying without ceasing, which to me says even more than praying continually. Praying without ceasing suggests we should never give up. And Jackie's going to share something about that.
Bit of context. I'm Jackie Mails, in case some of you have not met me. Many of you will know that I share a house with Kate, this lady that sits in the front here. So we've shared a house as companions for nigh on 20 years now, but it's 30-odd years since we first met and became friends through our work. And I want to tell you a little bit about why it's worth keep praying for people, even when you don't see anything happening, I guess, is the reason I've been asked to stand here. So 30-odd years ago, I would have met Kate and her then husband, and we were friends. We went on holiday together. Kate and I worked together over a period of at least 10 years. And in that time, I was very conscious of God putting on my heart that these two should be saved. So I prayed often for Kate and for Bob. I prayed perhaps more easily for Kate as we became friends. And as you become friends, if it starts off in a work setup, sometimes you have to put a bit of effort into making it more than just a casual relationship. So I was praying, Lord, bring this person to faith in Jesus. But I was also telling her things that went on. So when I saw miracles or other answers to prayer or amazing stuff that happened on Sundays, I used to try really hard to kind of weave that into the conversation. Dave Woodhouse is not here because I was going to say, but I never talked about church. That would mean something if you were with us on Tuesday night. Anyway, so over that period of time, it just went on praying and praying, asking again and again, again and again, but seeing nothing, seeing no interest particularly. And I want to also share that one of the ways I prayed was in tongues. I'd learned way back in the early 70s that if you pray in tongues for situations and for people, that's even more powerful, it seems. So I used to pray in tongues in the car. That was the place that I pray. I don't pray sitting down very easily. I like to be on the move, and the car is a brilliant place. It used to take me 2 hours to get to work, so I could pray effectively, perhaps. But on and on and on, praying for this woman. On and on and on, praying. Anyway, my prayers for her and her husband had a funny twist because they ended up getting divorced. You can laugh. So that wasn't really the outcome we expected. Anyway, so 20 years ago, I was just about, literally at this time of the year, actually, about to leave London and come up here. And Kate came to stay in my house a few times, and I could see that there was a beginning of an interest in things. And I remember her saying to me years ago, I kind of believe in God, but I'm never going to go to church. And of course you think, that's what you think, you know, as you go on praying. So one day in November 1999, staying in my house in London, I was getting ready to go to our really lively, charismatic church and got my coat on that. And she said, could I come? And I went very casually, yeah, if you want, you can, you know, thinking, yes. You know, that was one of the answers to prayer. So she walks into the church and the Holy Spirit grabs around the scruff of the neck and she just cries for the whole of the time. And she's sitting there going, what's the matter with me? And I'm thinking, there's nothing the matter with you. It's just Holy Spirit's doing his thing. That was the beginning. So that's 20 years ago. And it only took a few more hours before she gave her life to Christ. But it had taken best part 10, 12 years of persistent prayer and gentle, not forceful, gentle witnessing to things that God was doing, until the day she asked the question I'd been dying for her to ask was, can I come with you? And then, of course, all the other questions followed on. And the little appendix to that is that God answered some of my prayers through Kate, because during my 30s and 40s, when I had a house in London, I used to have what can only be described as interesting young women living with me. Difficult, drug addicts, alcohol dependent, awkward so-and-sos. Lovely girls. But, you know, at the end of that time, I remember thinking, I'm tired of this. And I prayed, Father God, when I move north, could I please not have someone, A, who has a job, B, who pays the rent, C, who doesn't go off at me every 5 minutes, D, isn't a drunk or an addict in my house. Don't mind them doing it out there, but not here. Someone I could go on holiday with, somebody who's kind of like me and of similar age, and all the things that I hadn't experienced, I end up living with her. I think that was an answer to prayer. So, pray persistently, pray in tongues, be faithful, because he is. We pray a moment. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a God of faithfulness. Thank you for the way you've answered prayers in each and every one of our lives. We pray now for the friends and the family that are on our hearts, the people that we struggle to witness to, the people that we struggle to see any interest in you. Father God, we pray for these people that we love. Help us to go on in faith, in perseverance, in coming again and again to your throne, boldly crying out for their salvation. Encourage us, Lord. Equip us, strengthen us. Grant us faith in our own hearts, Lord, to believe that you can do this, that you can change, you can bring people to faith in you, because that's what you do, and all we have to do is ask you for it and be faithful unto them. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jackie. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 16, we read, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Paul was writing to the Ephesians and telling them that he was continuing to pray for them and to remember them. This is just one reference that we find, particularly in the New Testament, about praying for others. And so we've asked Jo if she would pray specifically for those who are part of HCC, but who are either serving God abroad or perhaps away at university. So Jo is going to pray for them. Thank you.
Yeah, Father God, we just thank you for the fact that we're part of a really big family of God. Thank you, Father, for the people that are not here but are doing what you've designed them for. Thank you for the opportunities to discover new places and new things and get a new perspective on all you've created and planned. Thank you, God, for your continual provision for the people that we have sent out from this place. Thank you, God, for your protection over them. Lord, we pray that nothing shall harm them and that they shall flourish in all they're doing. Lord, we thank you for your provision, and we ask that they would always have all they need, but also they would live and receive your abundance as they walk alongside you. We pray for Rachel Hall in Australia. Thank you for how she's growing and learning new things. We pray for her plans and her team's plans as they are getting ready for outreach in Vietnam. We pray that that would be a really fruitful time and that their plans would go smoothly. We pray for healing where she's physically struggling at the moment. And we ask for endurance to carry on where it's challenging. We pray that she would experience ease and rest and be able to lean on you. Lord, we pray that she would learn all that you have for her to learn. She would grow in intimacy with you and knowledge of you. We pray for Joe and Anna Beswick, who are in Holland. Thank you that you stirred their hearts for South Africa, Lord, and we pray that that would be a really fruitful time as well. We pray for peace in what seems like overwhelming tasks at the moment where they are. And we pray that they would have space to grow in learning to lean on your strength and to be able to organise themselves in the work they're doing. We pray for Alison and Linda, and thank you for all that they have where they are. Thank you for the family that they have and the work. We pray for continued provision and wisdom for their family of boys. And we pray for continued direction, guidance, and strength on the work that they're doing in the school and the church. And lastly, we pray for Hugh, who is at university. We thank you that he's doing what he loves, and we pray that he would see an impact in the work he's doing in the Christian Union. We pray that he would learn more about himself and you while he's at uni. And we pray you direct his steps and fan the flame of all you've designed him to do while he's there. Amen.
Thank you, Jo. Many of you are aware that Neil and Elaine, our senior leaders, are currently on sabbatical. They've been away now since the middle of August. And just this week, they actually flew out to Texas to visit Drew and Holly Humphrey. For those who don't know, Drew Humphrey is a student pastor at Baylor University in Waco in Texas. And every year, he brings a team of Texan students who come and invade Hexham and other parts of the Northeast and do lots of wild things. They're going to schools, they do youth stuff, they help, they share testimony, they really do impact. And so for the first time since teams have started coming across from there, it was somebody else who brought them before Drew, Neil and Elaine have been able to go out and visit. And from the few photos that I've seen, they seem to be having a good time. But we thought it'd be good to remember Neil and Elaine in our prayers. And the writer of Hebrews says, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must be given account. Do this so that their work would be a joy, not a burden, for that would not be of benefit to you." Pray for them. And we ask Johnny and Becky, Johnny, I assume, if he would pray for Neil and Elaine.
Yes, Lord, thank you for Neil and Elaine, Lord. Thank you for the blessing that they have been to our church, Lord. Thank you for all that they have given, all that they have sacrificed in coming to this church and serving us, Lord. I just pray that they find renewal and more of you while they've been on sabbatical, Lord. I just pray that they'll come back just full of your plans and your vision, Lord. Just pray that you'll just strengthen them and just give them the health and the just wisdom to deal with whatever comes to pass, Lord, that they will just be able to see what you see, Lord, over this church, Lord. I just pray that they'll be really blessed from the time that they've spent out over in Waco and everywhere else that they've been, Lord, that they've just been able to take some time just to spend resting in your presence, Lord, and seeking your way and your path for them and for the church, Lord. I just pray that you'll bless their family, you'll bless where they live, you'll bless everything that they do and Elaine's work and everything that they're involved in, Lord. We just thank you how committed they are to your ways and to you, Lord. And we just thank you for them. Amen.
Many, many years ago, I discovered the book of Nehemiah, and quite an odd book to discover, but I really, really enjoyed reading the book of Nehemiah. My dad had a study book. I think I was possibly studying by then, so I think I was probably kind of 19, 20. He had a study book, and so I read that and really got into Nehemiah. So I'm really excited by the fact that our Bible Focus series is on the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, because I really do love that. Interestingly, Dale has been doing his daily devotions have been based out of the book of Nehemiah as well, so we've had lots of Nehemiah. And in the book of Nehemiah, certainly right at the start, we discover that Nehemiah heard some really devastating news. Nehemiah, along with lots of other people from the country he was from, were captured and living in exile. and they had jobs, some of them, and but they were a long way from home. Some people had managed to stay behind, and so they'd sent some news, and their capital city, Jerusalem, the centre of their place of worship, was in ruins, and Nehemiah was really, really, really sad. And in chapter 1 of Nehemiah, we read his prayer. So from verse 4 of chapter 1, "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Rather, the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even in your exiled people, then even if your exiled people are at the furthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man." This man he was talking about was the king. Nehemiah had a fairly important job. He was the king's cupbearer. Important in that, in those days, if you were important enough to have a cupbearer, the cupbearer's job was to test the wine before you had it, just in case somebody had poisoned it. Obviously, if they had poisoned it, you then died, and the king wouldn't drink the wine. So potentially you could get very drunk, but obviously potentially you could also die. One of the things as well about that sort of job was you didn't look sad in the presence of the king. That was not allowed. It was not the done thing at all. You didn't let your feelings be shown. However, Nehemiah was so upset by the news from Jerusalem, so devastated by what was going on, and I think probably the hopelessness. I think he couldn't imagine. I imagine he couldn't see any way forward, any possibility of anything happening to change the situation. Anyway, the king, in chapter 2, there's Nehemiah with the king, and the king said, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." Nehemiah replies, "I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and the gates have been destroyed by fire?' The king said to me," and now he could have said, "Off with your head, kind of be gone. I'm not listening to this." The king said, "What do you want?" This was not a response Nehemiah was expecting. The next verse, and this I think is my favourite bit about the story of Nehemiah, is it says, "Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king. If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favour in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried, so that I can rebuild it." What I love is the fact that in that moment, Nehemiah says a very, very short prayer. It's not even recorded. It just says, "Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king." He couldn't have said a long prayer to God and then answered the king. That wasn't the position he was in. It had to be a very brief prayer. And that's the thing about prayers, isn't it? We can have long prayers, detailed, lots of information, a real conversation with God, or they can be very brief and to the point. God likes both. He doesn't like one more than the other. He likes to hear from us, he likes us to talk to him, he likes us to share our hearts, but he also likes us to just cry out to him in that moment, in that desperation, as Nehemiah did. If you want to find out what happened, if you don't know the story, you need to come to Bible Focus on Tuesday night, and then you'll find out more. But I did feel as I was reading this that it would be good to pray for our town and our surrounding area, the towns that we represent as part of that church, in the way that Nehemiah had a passion for his city of Jerusalem, where he was a long way from. You know, we are stirred, we are called to pray for our town. So Chris is going to lead us in some prayer.
Is this on? It is. You know, I feel really vulnerable without my guitar in front of me. I'm tempted to jump up there and protect myself. Did you hear that, band? You're not allowed to be sad in the presence of the king. Do you notice that? That's one for the band, I think. If I say the word priest to you, I wonder what jumps into your head. Priest. Maybe an Old Testament priest, somebody like Eli, perhaps. Maybe in modern times, a Roman Catholic priest or an Anglican priest. I wonder if anybody had the word me jump into their head or you jump into their head when I said the word priest. The Bible is very clear that we are a royal priesthood. We are a royal priesthood. And we are called to do what priests do, whether you are comfortable doing it or not. So what do priests do? Well, a number of things, but I'm just going to focus on one of them. Priests are called to speak a blessing over their communities. And that's what I want us to do today. So are you ready to accept your priestly role? It's a very biblical concept. And speak blessings over your community. Just take a moment now to focus on what your community is. Do you live in Hexham? Do you live in a village? Do you live in isolation somewhere? What do you call your community? Because that's what I'm going to ask you to bless in a minute. You just take a minute. What is your community? What's God given to you on your heart to bless? And what is a blessing? Well, a blessing is not a prayer. When we pray to God, and we ask him for things, and we praise him, and we do all the things that we're used to doing. It's a conversation with him. A blessing is a bit different. In a blessing, we speak the blessing over somebody or over something that's on our heart. It's not a conversation with God. We can ask God to pour out his blessing on what we have blessed, but that's different. Are you with me? So we're going to now bless things, not pray. At the end of that, we can ask God to pour out his blessings. The Bible, again, is very clear on that. When priests bless, he responds by pouring out his blessings. And that's what we want for our communities, isn't it? I hope you're comfortable with the idea of being a priest. Words will appear on the screen, quite a lot of them. And I would like us to read them out together. You don't have to, but if you're comfortable in accepting your priestly role, let's do that together for the community that you've got inside you at the minute, that you're focusing on. Okay? In fact, the first screen, just to contradict what I've just said, is actually a prayer. But after the first screen, we're into blessings. Because we are, first of all, going to pray to God, Heavenly Father. It's a prayer. Can we say this together? If you're ready to accept your priestly role, I'll start. Please join in. Don't want to listen to my voice. Heavenly Father, we take upon ourselves the mantle of authority that Jesus delegates to us. And in his name, we speak to every household and workplace in Hexham and in the surrounding rural areas, and we say to them, before we go on, let me just point out, we are doing this in his name, not in any strength or power that we have. We're doing it because he can do it. We are blessing in the name of Jesus this morning. Are you all clear on that? It's not in our own strength. Okay, so let's take the next screen. We're speaking here to the people, that are in our community. We bless you in the name of the Lord. We bless your marriages, that they may be strong and whole. We bless every relationship between different generations. We bless those who are unmarried. And in Jesus' name, we bless every network of wholesome and supportive friendship. You don't have to say the word pause. Pause means pause. So just take a minute to reflect on what that screen, the words on that screen, mean for you. Okay, next screen, please. We bless your health, that you may be strong and well. In Jesus' name, we say to every person in our communities, be well, be strong, be healthy. To any who are sick at this time, we say, we bless you in Jesus' name with a speedy recovery. Again, just a pause for a few seconds. Bring people to mind. Who's God placing on your heart at the minute? We bless your wealth, that you may have plenty to replace poverty. We bless you to have enough to live and enough to give. We bless your daily work, that whatever you do which is wholesome may be profitable. We bless every wholesome business that is conducted in our communities, that it may prosper and be successful. Again, just take a few seconds. Which are the businesses in your village, in your town, that you particularly want to bless, that you want to bless? Next one. Whether we live in town or country, we bless the fields that they may be productive, and the flocks and herds that they may be well and strong. Whether you're a farmer, whether you live in rural areas or the town, we bless the countryside around us in the name of Jesus. We bless the local schools, that they may be secure places for teachers and pupils alike. We bless the children's capacity to learn and to develop relationships. We bless their childlike simple trust in Jesus, that their trust may grow and become enriched. We bless those who work for physical and mental well-being in our communities, the doctors, pharmacists, care workers, and countless others who are so often unseen by all except God. Who's on your heart to bless at the minute? And we speak to the churches and chapels, and we say that we bless you in the name of the Lord, that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God may flow out from you in power. And finally, we bless the hearts of all who live in our communities, that they may hear and respond to the voice of the living God, and that God's blessings will spill over onto you as the kingdom of God grows in our area. Okay, those are blessings that we prayed in the name of Jesus over our communities. So now we pray to God. Father, we're now praying to you, Lord. Father, we bring our blessings to you and ask you to respond and pour out your blessings on every aspect of our community life that we've blessed today. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Technology, it's great when it works. So having prayed for our towns and our communities, we also felt it'd be good to pray for our nation. I think probably we should be praying for our nation daily, if not hourly. But anyway, we asked Brian if he would pray for our nation.
Sometimes it's difficult to know what to pray because things are so complicated, and sometimes we can't see where the right way is for them to go. So hopefully what I say will be helpful to you to inform your prayers as we pray together now. So, Father, your word instructs us to pray for those in authority over us. It says in 1 Timothy 2, that we should pray for those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness, and that's what we want. So, Father, first of all, we thank you for our government. We don't always agree with what it does, but we recognize that its authority comes from you. Would you direct those who exercise power in whatever capacity to do so for the common good and not for partisan gain? We pray in the forthcoming general election campaign that there would be respect across society for those who hold differing views, whether that be in relation to party politics or Brexit. We also pray that electioneering would be respectful of opponents and be based on the truth in the claims and promises that are made. Would you bring about from the election result in December a strong government that is able to give leadership to our nation so as not to prolong the chaos that we've seen now for many months? We will each bear responsibility as we contemplate how to cast our vote in the forthcoming election. Would you please help us to do so wisely? Thank you for organizations such as the Christian Institute that will read all the party manifestos and summarize for us where they uphold or deviate from your standards. We may well find that we don't think that any of the parties has suitable policies, so help us to know what to do in such circumstances. Your word says in Proverbs, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." So would you please deliver the outcome that will serve you best and bless our nation? We ask for a government that isn't extreme in its outlook, but one that is moderate and able to bring healing to the deep divisions in our society, and to work for the benefit of the whole nation. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers," and we pray that our nation would know your peace and blessing for its future. We pray for all those in authority who know and love you. Would you increase the number of Christians in Parliament and other positions of influence? And we ask that those who frame and enforce our laws will have regard to them when they do so. We thank you for all Christian teachers. Would you strengthen them in these days and enable them where they can to communicate your goodness and purposes to the children they serve? And we ask that you would bless our Queen with health and strength as she continues to give a strong lead and models what it means to serve the nation. And finally, Father, we thank you for the Christian heritage that in the past has influenced and formed so many areas of our national life. And we ask that there would be a major shift in our nation's culture, taking it back to those good Christian principles and values on which it was built. And may we each be bold to speak your word where there is need, to confront ideas and practices that clash with your standards. And may we do so with love and a desire to bring your salvation to all men and women. Amen.
Thank you, Brian. And so, almost finally, we wanted to pray for our Daniel Challenge team. They've been with us now for nearly 2 months, and hopefully many of us are getting to know them well. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, in the New American Standard Version, it says, "But the people who know their God will display strength and take action." And that is the motto of Daniel Challenge, to know God, to display strength, and to take action. And Dale's going to pray for them.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we just pray for our Daniel Challenge team in Hexham. We just thank you for everything they're getting involved with, but Father, they're getting to know you in a deeper, fuller way. They're knowing their God. They're taking action, Lord. They're wanting to talk to people about you, about Jesus. Just thank you for that. And Father, I just pray you'd bless them in all they're doing. Sometimes they feel a long way from home. I just pray you give them peace in all the things that they do. And Father, I just pray they'll see fruit in their lives. Just pray that your Holy Spirit will give gifts to them, Lord, so they're able to take your word out to the nations. And Father, I just pray that they'd feel welcome in this community in Hexham. And again, Father, I just pray you'd bless all the Daniel Challenge team. Ed, Basha, Bartek, and Marianne. In Jesus' name, amen.
There are many other prayers we could have prayed, many other aspects of our church life, our individual lives that we could have prayed for. We could have involved very many more people. We could have been here all day, I'm sure. So we did have to be selective. While I was thinking about this morning, I read the passage in Acts 12 where Peter's in prison and the Christians got together and prayed, and they prayed all night. And Peter had a miraculous escape from prison. In fact, it was so miraculous when he got to the house and knocked on the door, the girl who answered the door was so shocked, she shut the door again and left him stood outside. She wasn't expecting the answer to prayer that they got. Perhaps we should have organized an all-night prayer meeting and we might have seen some miraculous answers. That's something perhaps for us to consider for the future. We do have monthly prayer and prophecy evenings where it's good to come together and to pray. So there are many other opportunities. However, for this morning, this is the end of our led prayer section. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. They're going to lead us in some more worship. During the first song, our stewards will take up our tithes and offerings. If you're a visitor, please feel free to let the plate go past. And if you would appreciate prayer, either for healing or for some specific challenge or issue that you're going through and you'd just like prayer, we have a prayer ministry team We're all now going to rush to the back to find their blue lanyards. And they will be available to pray. Because we're going to do this during the worship time, just a bit different, can I suggest that you go to either of the sides, just that'd be easier, or even to the back. The team will be there with their lanyards on and will be able to pray for you.